There's a new blend out in the wild, and today we have Uni here with us to help explain what it is, what's new with it, and what you can do in it. So Uni, could you introduce yourself for a little bit?
Yeah, I'm a program manager in the Expression Blend team. I've been working on this product for almost like close to 5 years. I started out as an intern, and this is like our third version of the product.
Wow.
It's, in my opinion, the best release we have done.
Good.
So far, and I'm absolutely excited about what we are bringing to the table.
Great. Okay. So yeah, this is the third iteration. This is the Blend 3 preview.
Right.
Right. Okay. So what's new? What makes this version 3?
So fundamentally, you know, people will talk about Silverlight 3 a lot because the platform is very exciting. So we have Silverlight 3 support.
Yes.
But in addition to that, I think we are taking creative possibilities to a whole new level.
Okay.
And we are enabling designers to do things that will help them be really, really productive, hopefully.
Great.
Building Silverlight 3 and WPF applications.
Well, that's good to hear. So it's not just Silverlight 3 support.
No,
there's
absolutely.
New functionality.
No, not at all.
All right. So some of that is with the graphics creation, right?
Right.
So what?
Cool. Like, let's get started because there's so much stuff to show you.
Exactly.
So I'm going to start by creating a new Silverlight 3 application inside Blend.
Okay.
The first thing I'm going to show is some of the stuff that we have done in just letting people be more creative inside the tool.
Mm-hmm.
So to start with, if you ever played with Blend 1 or Blend 2, you must have been fairly frustrated with the way, how difficult things were to actually select and manipulate on the artboard. And I'm going to show some of the improvements that we have made there.
Okay.
The first thing to note is, if I actually have multiple nested containers, you'll notice that how easy it is to actually nest containers by just drawing. You no longer have to double click to set the insertion point.
The yellow border thing.
Yeah, okay. We call it like, it was absolutely not usable with that thing. And it was very difficult to manipulate elements. So creating nested containers, as easy as that.
Wow.
Selecting nested containers, you can see as I'm moving my mouse around on the artboard, you know, that the object tree is giving me an indication of what should be selected.
Okay.
And all I have to do to select is click to select, you know.
Right.
You no longer have to drill into the container, you know, it's basically one click to select any element on the artboard.
Oh, great.
That actually, I think, is going to be a really big win for our users who had to spend a lot of time like finding and manipulating elements using our old selection metaphors. So I think that's a huge deal that we bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other things that we're bringing in Blend 3. So let's create a rectangle, and I'm going to show you how easy it is to manipulate gradients, which is a thing that designers very commonly do. So so here's a gradient, a simple black to white gradient. We have a new way of manipulating gradients. So I'm going to actually use the gradient tool, and you'll notice that it's let's say I wanted to change the direction of the gradient from top down to left right.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is a swipe gesture.
Oh,
and that
okay.
essentially changes the direction of the gradient from to whichever direction I wanted to go. So there you go. Similarly, if I wanted to add a gradient stop, all I would do is use the Alt modifier, and you can add gradient stops right on the design surface. No need to go to the property inspector.
Nice.
You could manipulate gradients as well. And you'll notice that selection of a gradient on the artboard is synchronized with the property grid. So if I wanted to make this gradient stop red for whatever reason, selected and synchronized to whatever I'm doing on the artboard. So I think some of these improvements that we have made in the tools themselves are going to be fairly appreciated by our users.
Oh, definitely.
Make them. I think there are some really cool improvements that we are bringing here. The other thing, if you have played with Silverlight 2, you'll notice some of the coolest things. In my opinion, some of the coolest things with Silverlight 2 are support for shaders.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll show you what
Silverlight 3.
For Silverlight 3,
yeah.
Actually, I'm sorry.
That's
so that's actually a huge, huge addition to the platform.
Oh, yeah.
So let's draw a button. I'm going to try and add a shader effect onto the button.
Okay.
So the newly designed asset tool or newly improved asset tool in Blend has tabs for shaders or effects in general.
Yeah.
And the platform itself ships with two effects, a blur effect and a drop shadow effect. Of course, the system is extensible, so people could write their own shader effects mm-hmm. using HLSL and, you know, pixel shader languages. So I'm going to drop a blur effect onto the artboard, mm-hmm. and you'll notice that the element is blurred.
Awesome.
And of course, as you probably know, this is a runtime feature, so this works great at runtime.
Yeah.
Manipulating an effect is very straightforward as well. You would select it just as you would select any other object in Blend,
uh-huh.
And you'd use the property grid to, let's say, change the blur radius.
Cool.
So
oh,
I think this is like base. Like, this is one of the biggest additions, in my opinion, to Civilized 2S for us designers are concerned. I think
right.
that's going to make them. You know, there's a lot more creative possibilities now on the platform than what was possible in the past.
Yeah, and being able to do that in Blend is
right,
going
right,
to really allow
right.
them to take advantage of that.
I think one even cooler addition to the platform is support for projection transforms.
Yes.
And I'm going to actually show you the
tooling for
that inside Blend. So I'm going to create a simple rectangle,
uh-huh.
and you'll notice that Blend now has a new transform editor for editing projections.
Awesome.
So as I rotate this arc ball,
ooh,
you'll notice
nice.
that the element is rotating as well in like a pseudo 3D space. Similarly, you know, you can do. A zoom in like effect using the transform editor as well, and of course I'll have to use the keyboard modifiers to finally control the values.
Uh-huh.
You can do things like, you know, various kinds of translations and transformations. So I think this is also a huge addition to the platform.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Blend 3 adds support for these scenarios as well. Of course, our adorners continue to work on the design surface as you're doing things. So, you know, you could go to the gradient adorner and manipulate things and things
mm-hmm.
like that. So I think support for projection transforms is fairly huge and a greatly welcome addition to the platform.
Yeah, definitely. And that little art, would you call it the art ball?
Yeah, we call it
yeah.
the art ball. Yeah.
That's such a nice way to visualize the
right,
three
right, right.
factors.
Right, right, right. It makes it like really easy to,
yeah.
of course you can do some crazy things, but I'm sure designers will.
Right, yeah, definitely.
They'll be, you know, pretty excited. But,
yeah.
And the other cool thing is, of course, you could go and record keyframes on all of these as well. So let's say you wanted to create an animation that looked something like this. And you could play the thing, and
mm-hmm.
that looks pretty cool too. So again, it's very well integrated into the animation system as well.
Great, very good.
So talking about some of the other graphics oriented features that we have done, I think as far as the tool is concerned, I think the greatest or one of the coolest additions that we have made is support for importing from Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop files.
Yes.
So
definitely.
So now a user could straightforward import content from a Photoshop or Illustrator file into Blend.
Right.
And then of course use all of our tools like Make into Control and things like that to
mm-hmm.
take bits and parts of the UI and transform them into fully functional controls
right.
that work at runtime. So
cool.
I think that's gonna be
really
very
useful.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be very well received by the community.
Yeah, definitely.
So
that's great.
Yeah, this importing Photoshop and Illustrator files was always coming up as something that people really, really wanted to do.
Right.
And they were trying to find all kinds of workarounds to get,
yes.
get their content into Blend.
Definitely.
Now there's a straightforward point of integration
awesome.
In the product. So like, I probably cannot do justice to all the features that we have done
yeah.
in the graphic space in 10 or so minutes, so I'm going to actually show you some of the other things that we are doing here as well.
Okay.
I'm going to move on to show you, actually, in my opinion, two of the most commonly requested features in for Expression Blend. The first thing, of course, is XAML IntelliSense.
Yes!
So,
yes.
So you can bring up
love it.
You can bring up XAML IntelliSense from within the XAML editor, and of course you can do things like width equals 22,
uh-huh.
things like that. So XAML IntelliSense, this is real IntelliSense that is coming off the actual types instead of a schema based IntelliSense. So if you had
right.
your custom controls and things like that, you'd get IntelliSense for that as well. So I think that's going to help people be a lot more productive.
Definitely.
When they're, hopefully our goal is to, you know, make it such that people don't have to jump to XAML as much as possible, as much as we can.
Right.
But,
yeah.
you know, it's always
the case. It's a great way to tweak what you're drawing.
Right.
So we could probably end the video right here.
That's
awesome. But go ahead. Keep, there's more.
The other feature, other top requested feature is coming up next. So let me open a solution.
Okay.
That I have, and as you can clearly see, the feature is TFS support. So I'm going to open a solution that I've already bound to
mm-hmm.
bound to source control.
Okay.
So you'll notice that Blend now offers source control inside
right.
the product. So certain items are checked in. So let's say I wanted to actually draw a rectangle. and hit F5.
Uh-huh.
When I hit F5, Blend automatically figured out that the item should be checked out, you know. And say I wanted to actually convert this rectangle into a user control.
Mm-hmm.
When I do that, Blend automatically figures out that it should add a bunch of items to source control.
Right.
And then it automatically does it for
and
you.
Just like Visual Studio,
right.
same
right.
project system, it
right.
checked out the project.
Right. It
all
does.
That implicitly.
Right. So,
awesome.
so designers who are working with developers on fairly sophisticated large scale applications now,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't have to leave Blend just to do source control operations. So
nice.
I think that's a big win.
Right.
Once I'm done with my changes, I can hit check in.
Uh-huh.
And submit those changes back to source control.
Great.
Some of the dialogues that we are presenting from within Blend are consistent with Visual Studio, so you don't have to learn two different systems
right.
to interact with the same source control system. So the consistency in UI is also, I think, is pretty important because that
right.
will, you know,
same thing
for a large
with.
Team, I think
yes.
that's a fairly important requirement. Moving on, the next feature I wanted to show you was I think like. Really, really innovative and cool, which is support for sample data.
Okay.
So if you have actually worked on a large application with tons of assets, if you open that particular XAML document in a product, you'll notice that nothing is visible because things are being generated on the fly. That things are coming from databases or a
right.
web service. You know, so the design experience for such a project is not optimal.
Mm-hmm.
So to solve this, we are adding support for sample data where designers can create visualizations that actually are. You know, can be easily connected to live data in the production process. So,
okay.
so to show you an example, I'm going to create a simple master detail, an RSS reader application that is like a master detail.
Okay.
So you can do sample data manipulations in two different ways. You can define a whole new schema and values and things like that inside Blend.
Okay.
Or you could choose to import sample data from XML. So let's say there was an RSS feed or things like that.
Sure.
Or a file of that format, then you could import sample data from there as well.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to right now show you defining a schema right inside Blend.
Okay.
So the sample data can be shared across different documents. So in this case, I'm going to store this in application.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other cool things about sample data in Blend is you can actually use the data when application is running.
Okay.
So there are certain things like resizability, which are very difficult to, you know, understand inside the tool.
Sure.
And they actually require the application to run.
Right.
So I think one of the cool things we are doing here is enabling sample data inside the running application as well.
Okay.
So I'm going to actually opt into that feature and I'm going to say that, okay, I want sample data also in the running application.
Okay.
Now what I really want is a collection. So I'm going to call this, let's say, news collection.
Mm-hmm.
And the news, let's say, has a headline, right? And let's say there is a detail somewhere, which is more description about that particular news item.
Mm-hmm.
And let's also say there is an image for that particular news item.
Okay.
So Blend lets you configure these various properties. So in this case, image should be of type image.
Mm-hmm.
You know, detail. I really want that to have a large number of words. I'm going to increase the number of word count to like some really large value. So you get like
mm-hmm.
a lot of information to preview on the design surface. And headline should be just a short string. So let's go
sure.
with that. So if I drag and drop headline onto the design surface, you'll notice that Blend creates a list view for visualizing headlines.
Okay.
You'll also notice that Blend generates values for various items
yeah.
for that particular data item that we are trying to visualize. These are sample values and can be replaced in a running application with actual data coming from a news feed,
okay.
like RSS or something like that.
But that's like really quick.
Right.
I mean, instantly.
Right.
Give me
it's
sample
it's
data.
Really easy to prototype data-connected applications in Blend 3.
Yeah.
Now what I want to do is I want to create a detail area that visualizes the particular item that is selected here.
Uh-huh.
So I can go into the details mode, and what I really want to visualize is the detail and the image. So when I drag and drop these, Blend automatically generates
oh, nice.
A layout for that particular item. And of course, I as the designer,
right.
99% of the cases, I'm not happy with the layout. And you can go inside and tweak them.
Sure.
Tweak the layout.
Yeah.
Or if, let's say you don't want this type, you know, this label, that's cool.
Right.
Or if you want text wrapping here. And of course, the cool thing is when you run this application, your sample data actually works.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that the sample data is running. if I wanted the master detail to work, all I have to do is now use a new feature in Silverlight, which is element name binding.
Right.
And set up an element name binding between the detail and the master.
Okay.
This is a feature that we are trying to automate in Blend 3 as well, so you won't have to do this step in the future.
Okay.
But for now, you have to set it up manually. So I'm going to say list box selected item. Once I do this and I run the application, you will notice that as I change things, the detail updates.
That's
so
awesome.
Again, I'm not. It was so easy for me to prototype a data connected simple application. If you did not want sample data in the running application, you could turn on and off as frequently as you wanted.
Okay. So it just like disables
right,
so it's not there at compile time.
Right. So
okay.
There you go. And run the application. Sorry about that. And there you go. So sample
cool.
data is all over available. You are now free to connect to your live data and fetch data and display it as you like.
Wow.
So I think adding support for sample data again lets designers visualize things that were fairly difficult to do in the past.
Right. And that's especially when you're building out templates. And
right.
Like you said, you know, for design time data, that's not going to be
An RSS reader is these days the hello world of design applications, you know. And I think we have made it as easy as possible to build some of these applications. One of my personal favorite features is what we are doing to enable designers to build applications without them having to write any code.
Mm-hmm.
And this is done. We are actually introducing a system called Behaviors, which is basically, you can think of behaviors as fragments of code that you can attach to your application. You know, so that they add functionality to the application.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a simple example. I'm going to create an animation. Let's call it foo. And then I'm going to animate this particular rectangle's movement from A to B location.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Okay.
When I run this application, nothing really happens because to trigger the animation, you have to write code, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
With Blend 3, we are introducing behaviors, which is again integrated into asset tool, which lets you do this without writing any code. So in this case, I have an action that I call control storyboard.
Okay.
I can drag and drop this onto anywhere in the object tree. For example, let's attach this to layout root, and I can set properties on it. So when I select this particular behavior, I will you'll notice that the storyboard or the property grid shows various properties. So in this case, I want the behavior to run when the document was loaded, and I want foo storyboard to run when the document was loaded.
Okay.
So now when I run the application, you'll notice that as soon as the document is loaded, the animation is run. So you no longer have to write code, for example, for triggering animations. This is the most basic example.
Right.
But you can imagine all the kinds of things. For example, a great example that I can think of is Deep Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make the Deep Zoom content work as people expect, which is to zoom in using the mouse and the panning behavior, you could write a behavior for that and drag and drop that onto the Deep Zoom control, and voila, you have it working.
But let's go back to that panel real quick. So you're using the term trigger. That's not the same as a WPF trigger, though, because this is still Silverlight.
I think yes, that is correct. Silverlight does not have triggers in the platform.
Yeah.
Conceptually, what we are doing is very similar to what WPF does.
Okay.
But I think we have a far more extensible system.
Right.
And a far more flexible system.
And so this is the behaviors kind of library or framework that you have within Blend.
Yes, we are providing a framework that people can extend to write their own custom behaviors for. You can imagine such a vast area of things that people can do.
Yeah,
some of them very domain specific, some of them very reusable. So we are trying to like encourage a community out there to start building a library of these that they can share and use inside Blend, so applications can be built pretty rapidly.
Great. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
So again, like you said, we'll have a library of behaviors that we ship with, but then it's always extensible.
Okay.
It's we're not going to make everyone happy.
Right.
Sure. You can always.
You always get more out of it.
Right.
Yeah,
so similar to custom controls,
right.
I think this is going to be a great addition to Blend, and in general, I think the platform itself.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
There are a couple other features that I wanted to quickly demonstrate.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I'm going to go back to the other project.
You have so many projects.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
Project number 320.
If you actually have been following Civilize, one of the things that they added was support for interpolators, which I think is really, really cool. So let's say this was a vanilla animation which moved an element from left to bottom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to do is make the element bounce as it reaches the bottom.
Right.
So I could choose one of these interpolator existing, you know, functions, like, for example, let's do this elastic function.
Okay.
So when I run this animation now, you'll notice that it's far more far more organic. And of course, this is not the best example, but this will, again, the system is extensible, so people can write their own custom easing functions and things like that. Similarly, the property grid has integration so that you can change certain parameters like the number of oscillations and, of course, the preview of updates here.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So you can do all these kinds of things, crazy things, I think.
So is that part of the storyboard, or it's just modifying the storyboard, or where does that fit in?
So let's look at this XAML. It is basically just a custom keyframe type.
Oh, okay.
So in this case, it's an easing double keyframe that is getting generated when people are. And certain set of these keyframes, like, for example, these keyframes are these easing functions, and certain functions are in the platform, but it's extensible. You can create your own easing function and plug that into create custom animations.
And just even that little visualizer, is that kind of showing off some of the extensibility that's new in Gen 3?
Right, I mean, that's actually, you bring up a good point. I think we are, one other thing that we are doing is adding a lot of extensibility points. Mm-hmm. Let me actually show you a couple of them. So the first thing to note here is that, as you probably know, the data grid control is a part of the Civilize SDK. It's not a part of the core runtime.
Right.
But if I was to search for data grid in Blend, it's now integrated into Asset Tool.
Okay.
So it is possible for third parties to register their own custom controls into
Great.
The Asset Tool.
That's good.
Going with the data grid example, I'm going to draw the data grid. And when I right click on it, you'll notice that there is this flyout menu which lets me add various kinds of columns.
Mm-hmm.
Again, an extensibility point. People can write their own custom context menus and things like that.
Great.
So let me show you, actually, since we picked up DataGrid as an example, I wanted to show you our support for DataGrid.
Mm-hmm.
So let's add a few properties. Let's pick image as the first property, boolean as the second property, and a string.
Okay.
I'm going to select these properties, and I'm going to drop them onto the data grid. Let me just switch them over to this.
Because that was the detail.
Yeah, that's
okay,
the detail.
So now we're back
to
the list.
Mode. Yeah, so this is the list mode. As soon as I dropped, Blend figured out the right set of columns that it should create. So for the boolean, it created like a data grid checkbox column. For the image, it created a template column, and for the text, it created a text column. But
that's
here's the coolest part, I think. If I go into template editing, which is possible, I can rotate elements and everything updates on the design surface. So the data grid experience that we're bringing to the table is phenomenal as well.
Wow.
That lets people and designers be like really creative with line of business scenarios.
Right.
So, talking about extensibility, some of the other things we are doing, our design surface is extensible, so people can write their own custom adorners and, you know, panel designers and things like that.
Okay.
The property grid was always extensible. So,
A
lot of extensibility features are also being added to...
Great.
...to Blend 3.
Yeah.
Again, this is... I can't do justice to...
This is the top
features
of the iceberg,
that,
right?
This is just the tip of the iceberg. And
great.
There are a lot of features, and I think that people will appreciate.
So, really, to start seeing all this stuff and more, people should just try and go download it.
Yeah,
and then try it out for themselves.
Right. You can download these from Microsoft.com/expression, or you can go to our blog, and you can find a lot more. We'll be writing, like, there are possibly, if I was to count the set of features, there'd be like 1,500 of them to write about. So.
All right, so you guys will be writing for a while.
Right.
Yeah. And this is just a preview, too.
So our blog will start listing some of the features so people can discover them and work with them. And,
well, we kind of like it when your blog goes quiet, right? Because that means you guys are working hard.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, great. So that's great. It's Microsoft.com/expression and blogs at msdn.com/expression.
Correct.
All right. Well, thanks, Uni. I'm really excited about Blend 3.
Okay, cool.
That's
Thank
awesome.
You.